Blog Talk Radio. Wow. Well, well, well. This is another day in and of the Lord. And I am so, I'm just so full. God is just so good to me. If I was to complain, I would need to go ahead and get in a timeout in the corner because God has just been too good to me. I am going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila. This is Cecilia, so that she can open us up with prayer. And then I just want to tell you something, similar to something that God had me write on Facebook. This message today or this lesson may not be for you, but I want you to pray for me because it's definitely for me. Minister Sheila, can you pray for us?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Just want to say, Lord, I thank you for blessing us with another day of life, another day, another birthday to celebrate the glorious love and mercy that you have for us. Lord, I give honor to you, too, as the head of my life, the head of my life that brought us through all trials and tribulations, brought us through the life of just going on now with this virus and all this racialness. Lord, I thank you, for yet we are still here to thank and to praise and to love you. As we can see, yet you still love us. I give honor to Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser White, Minister Brandon Kaiser, excuse me, Minister Margo McCoy, Dr. Serena White, Lawrence Seabury, to all ministers and missionaries and evangelists, Tony Montgomery and Linda Handy. Lord, I give honor to all your leaders, your teachers, your sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters in life. Lord, I give honor to my sisters, my brothers, my daughters, my son, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my cousins, nieces, nephews. Lord, I give you praise for the hope and the life of all the bloodline family along with my spiritual family. Lord, I thank you and I thank you. And I thank you, and I ask you to bless this government that we're going through, that they are here to serve all people, not just some people. Bless this law enforcement, that they are here to serve each and every human life on this planet that you made for us, no matter what your color is, your creed, your sex, your religion. But we are here because of the grace of God that gave his son, Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might have life and to learn to love and to worship and to praise each and every day that the Lord has blessed us with. So God, I give honor to you and ask you to bless us through all that we are going through and to bring us through no matter what we're going through, health-wise, financial-wise, spiritual-wise, within ourselves, our jobs, our neighbors, no matter what it is, to show us how to live through it, come through it, believe that you can bring us through each and everything that we're going through, because without you, we would not be. But Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And again, I'm apologize now. As yet, I am at work, so if I don't get to finish out the program, I would ask Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright or Minister Margo McCoy close out the service for me. But I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, before I get to all of the notes that the Lord has given me, oh my goodness, I had wrote on Facebook about how I know my family's cooking is not for everybody, but it's definitely for me. And when it comes to soul food, my mother was definitely an artist, an expert artist, a master artist, a master chef. And then I had my various aunt baby sisters and my aunt sweeties and the different people that they were as well. And they taught us how to cook. And so whether you're on the Kaiser side or the Seabury side, we have great cooks and chefs and bakers and more when it comes to the art of soul food. Sometimes we take it for granted. And I have to admit, many times I have. Because when I went home, I knew whether it was Thanksgiving or whatever, I was going to give me some good cooking. I even took for granted that I could cook. You know, I always knew that if I wanted some soul food and I wasn't at home, I could just cook it myself. Taught my son how to cook, and Minister Sheila's son, Juan, his lasagna is second to none. I mean, Pinky, her mac and cheese and different things that I taught her to make, she makes them better than me, and it's kind of funny. And then, you know, we have Minister Sylvia. Everyone loves her string bean casserole. I can't speak to it because I don't eat string beans, but I could say that I love her peach cobbler. And Brandon, he's just a baker. He's just, oh, that guy is just an awesome cook. And then my sister Sheila, please, she can make so many different types of banana puddings and crust. You're like, what? What? I never thought about doing that. And then Carlton with his deep-fried turkey and tea with her candied yams. I mean, I could just go on and on. One of my cousins, Patricia, from Detroit, she said my mom showed her how to make her biscuits. Everybody loved my mom's biscuits and cornbread. And if they didn't, oh, well, they just missed out on a treat because it's not for everybody. So we're talking about soul food. So I want you to know that this message that the Lord gave me this morning has truly been soul food for me. It has not only blessed me on today, but it was blessing me all week long. You know, it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't wait to get it out, so I had to preach to myself. Like we know, the Word of God, we are the first partakers of it. So I thank God for this word. And like I said, it's not for everybody. I can truly tell you that it's not for everybody, but it's definitely for me. And so I'm going to need you to be patient with me while I go through it. I may not get to go through all of it today, but I pray that I do. But if I don't, I want you to know it's been good to me all week long. It's really been longer than a week, but it's just phenomenal. So let's talk about a few things first. Let's do some little dictionary words. First of all, if I had to give this message, this discussion, this talk that we're going to have on Today of Dame, it would be, we have been restored to the form and likeness of God through Christ Jesus. So what the word form mean? It's the visible shape or configuration of something. It can be the very form, the color, and the texture of something. It's a shape, an outward form. It's a silhouette, a profile, a format, a type of pattern. It's the very thing that exists and how it appears and how it manifests and how it's embodied and how its characters, its descriptions, its makeup, its molds. How many of you all know when my mother was showing us how to cook, she was showing us the very mold, the very shape of that thing, the very ingredients that went into it. Well, the King James Bible dictionary says that a form is the form of the head of the human body. It's a handsome form. Or in some cases, it could be an ugly form. It could be a frightful form. It's something that gives you a particular body or disposition. It talks about how the form was even talked about in Daniel 3, and how when it appeared in another form of two or three of them as they walked, that was like in Mark 16, And it talks about the very model of things and how it'll hold fast to its very form, the form of the sounds of the word for which you heard, or that you heard God, and you heard the word being spoken or read in 2 Timothy 1. And it talks about the beauty and the elegance of things, the very form of the earth, because, you know, the earth at first was without form or void in Genesis 1. But then we get into the likeness, because many times when people are talking about the form of something, they're also using likeness. So it's where form and likeness have been used interchangeably, even though they're different. So when we talk about the likeness of something, although the King James Bible version didn't really get into it, there was Wikipedia and the various dictionaries that said it's like being like something, the resemblance of something. You know, it resembles something. It's the parallel of something. It's the sameness. It's the agreement. It's the identicalism of something. It's the image. It's the aspect. It's the character of something. Now, when you look up in the biblical dictionary what likeness means, it reminds you that it's the likeness of the image of God, which is similar to. But it also wants you to know that although it's similar, they're not the same. They're different. Because the image is just that. It's humankind being made in the image of God, whereas the likeness is the spiritual attributes of the morals and the qualities of God. Many of us have the likeness of our parents. We don't look identical to them, but we have the likeness of them. And so the Greek word for likeness is homonema. Homonema means the likeness, the form, or the appearance of something. But see, as you see, even when they were talking about the likeness and the form, it talked about the image. So then what is it? An image. It's like the image of a stone or a piece of wood or a statue or an idol or an object, something that you may have copied, something that's in something's likeness. I mean, in Genesis 1, verses 26-27, God created mankind, humankind, Adam and Eve. I mean, and in those very scriptures, he talks about making man in his own image. He talks about making man in his own likeness. And so when we talk about likeness in this form, it's not a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing. It's a moral likeness. So we're made in the moral likeness of God. And it also says how because of that likeness, he gave us complete authority, not partial authority, but he gave us complete authority. Why? Because God had created man in his own image and in his own likeness. He created male and female. So then if he created us to be like him, then it made sense that he would give us complete authority and then bless it. He not only gave us the authority that he had, but he gave us the blessing of that authority. And then even after he blessed that authority that he gave us, he said that it was good and he validated. So now, since we know that he validated, what does it mean for God himself to validate that he said that it was good, he gave us the authority, and he blessed it? Well, it means that God said that it was accurate, it was approved, it was certified in its value, it was truth, it had substance, it was had been authenticated, it had been confirmed, and our credentials had been endorsed by God. And now we were walking in the weight of God. We were walking in the legality of what he had given us. Oh, my God. Calm down, Cecilia. Calm down. You have to. Oh, God. Arabasa. I got to calm down because I gotta get to the meat of everything that this is about. So then when Jesus came to restore us because of a fallen humankind, in John 1, it reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. And then it goes on to let us know that he came unto his own, and his own received him, not talking about Jesus, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. We're the children of God, my God, which were born not of blood. That's right, he formed us. Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Once again, God created us. And then verse 14 even goes on and says, the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. Jesus was made flesh, and he dwells among us. And he's full of grace, and he's full of truth. Remember that truth that God had said was good when he blessed the authority that he gave us. Stay with me. Stay with me. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, it tells us to think of ourselves as Christ Jesus. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself, meaning we need to be Christ-like. We need to be imitators of Christ, because although Jesus could have been haughty and prideful, the word reminds us that Jesus became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. My God, that's a whole nother message. Instead, he lived selfless and obedient life, then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death was the crucifixion. Colossians 3 and 10 says, and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. We're still talking about the image. Ephesians 4 and 24 says, put on the new self, the regenerated, renewed nature, created in God's image, God-like, in the righteousness and holiness. 1 Corinthians 11 and 7 says that a man ought not have his head covered during worship, since he is the image and reflected glory of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 49 talks about us This is not something that it was just thought of, but we actually have this. We were born the image of the earthly man of dust. We will also bear the image of the heavenly man of heaven. Isn't it something that although we were formed in the dust, but we're yet of heavenly nature? That's a whole other message too. James 3 and 9 says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. See, we're still talking about the likeness and the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 talks about how we've been progressively transformed into his image. One degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, is the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 7 even talks about how the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very image of God, is not always revealed to everyone. You hear that? It's not always revealed and illuminated in its clarity to everyone. Why? Because Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing it. So we have to understand that Satan has an agenda to blind us, to cause us to be doubtful, to cause us to think that God is a lie and his word is a lie. See, the enemy has a mission, and so do we. And we have to remember that even according to Romans 8 and 29, we were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are to be Christ-like. So therefore, since when Jesus came, he said that it was finished after he restored us to the very nature and creativity and declaration and decree of God when he said that it was good, the past, the present, and the future. When Jesus came, he restored us back to our Savior and to that place of the original intent of God. Now, many people may say, why are we talking about the image and the likeness and the form of God? Just stay with me, work with me. Romans 5 and 15 reminds us about the various trespasses of mankind. It reminds us about the various trespasses and doubts and things that happened through the first Adam, where then the final Adam, who was Jesus Christ, came in the grace of God that many of us would be restored, which he did in John 19 and 30 when he said, it is finished, past, present, current, and future. And even John 3 and 16 gives us the recipe, the way to get that finished work, that restoration, where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you believe? 1 John 3 and 2 reminds us how it says, what we will be has not yet been made. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. You're going to be like him. So if we're going to be like him, while we're on this side of heaven, why aren't we practicing? When you want to be a good football player, basketball player, cook or chef, like I talked about, our parents and us, you practice that tool. You honed in on the expertise of that tool. Now, why aren't we honing in on being Christ-like? Why aren't we studying the word, praying the word, standing on the word, declaring and decreeing the word? 1 Peter 2 and 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9 and 21 says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. See, we can decide which law we're going to live under. Are you going to live under the law of the grace of mercies of God? Or are you going to live this life that says, I'm not accepting Jesus, I'm not this, and I know this, I know that. We're going to get to that too. Philippians 3 and 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, become like him in his death. That is something right there, to have the word of God, like Philippians 2, 1 through 6, that says to be Christ-like. That means they're encouraging us to walk in the abundance of the love and the fellowship of God. So when we have the fellowship with his spirit, we get into great depths of affection and compassion. We're able to have the mind of Christ by having his love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent in one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news that tells people that if they have faith in Christ, not in their own selfishness, not in their own conceit or strife or attitudes, but not in arrogance and things of that sort, but in humility, not that self-righteousness, because we know people have personal interests. This is what Philippians is talking about. We know that people are trying to exist in their own selves, you know, unchanging. They don't want the nature of God. They don't want the divine attributes of God. But to be Christ-like means you want to have the divine attributes of God, regardless of what's going on in your life. You want to be like Jesus because you want to willingly and lovingly be in the likeness and the form and the image of God. So that that imputed, created nature that he gave us, we have the authority that verse 26 and Genesis 1 said that he gave us and that he blessed it. Don't you want your authority on this earth and in this earth to be blessed? Well, you have the ability to have it restored back unto you when you walk with God in a Christ-like nature. Many of us say, I'm just saying. Well, why aren't we saying the Bible says? Why aren't we saying God says? I'm just saying. That's the problem. It's too much I. Instead of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, in humankind's nature, we like to declare and decree a thing, but it may not be that which God has validated and said that it's complete. But when we use the word of God, when we walk in the word of God, we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt that the enemy is jealous. And why is he jealous? Because we can identify with God. We have been restored back to God, which is something he can't get. His everlasting, eternal end is Hades, the lake of fire. But we, as we are imitators of Christ, we have been restored back to God. See, the first Adam lost it because he allowed the enemy to disconnect him from his direct access that he had to God. See, he could talk to God. He didn't have no mediators, nobody. He could talk to God to his face. And the enemy came along and tried to tell him that God didn't say that. Yeah, we know he said it to Eve, but guess what? How did he get her ear? That's a whole nother message, too. When he was asking her, did God say that you couldn't eat of the tree in the garden? He came to her. She went to Adam, and he ate. Now, come on now. The very access to God. And he missed it. Satan planted a lie. He planted doubt. He planted curiosity about the unknown of the tree. He planted a kind of spiritual death sentence that would disconnect Adam and Eve from God, that will cause them to have a symbolic death of being nailed to the very cross, the very tree that they were told not to touch, the very tree that God said stay away from in your life is the very thing that the devil's going to try to use to get you out of your connection to the Father. What are those trees, or what is that tree in your life that God told you to stop doing, but you keep returning right back to that vomit? What is that very thing, that very person, that very situation that's been sent to cause you to doubt or to say that God is a lie? Because I still got time. I'll just repent. That's a lie. You may have repented a trillion times already, but you don't know if this last time is going to be the next time. Or I can even reverse it. You don't know if this next time will be your last time. Well, because of the second Adam, you and I have been given direct access back unto the Father. But see, there is what we call the epistles of temptation in this world. And it's the same temptations that the enemy of our soul brought to Jesus. One of the temptations is the lust of the body.
the temptation of hunger and satisfaction when he asked him, create bread out of the stones to relieve your own hunger. See, that's selfishness. I'm going to relieve my own hunger. I'm going to be satisfied. How many of us want to be satisfied all the time? That's a whole nother message. Then he brought to Jesus the egoism of throwing this and throwing that, the pride of what you can do. You're so suchy muchy. You can do this. You can do that. He said, leap from this pinnacle and rely on the angels to break your fall. See, that was that egoism, that pride of life. Pride can conceal itself in so many ways. Self-righteousness. How many of us depict and tear apart the messages and the words that are being spoken? God, I just want to thank you. How many of us can look at someone and the way they're dressed, and they can have on stilettos and just be cut from the top to the bottom, but you could still find something wrong? That jealousy and that envy, that always got to find something wrong with somebody. How about that materialism when he came and said, kneel before me and all the kingdoms of the world I'll give you? How could he tell that lie? Jesus already had it. So the lust of the eye, the materialism, the various things that people are being led astray and amok from God are those three epistles of temptation: hunger and satisfaction, wealth and kingdoms. Everybody want to be somebody's king or queen. My goodness. Everybody wants to walk around in the pride of life. I did this. I did that. Not God did this through me. Because, see, the pride of life wants to talk about what you think, what you know. The lust of the eyes want you to concentrate on what you want, what you wish for, your thoughts. The lust of the body wants you to care about what you feel. Does it feel good to me? Is it good for me? Well, what are those things that you have suffered from or experienced in your life that have been horrific or even good? Or what have been those teachable moments in your life that you missed or ignored because you said, God, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to learn how to trust you. I'm not trying to learn how to stand on your word because I want to do what I want to do. Some of us have been rejected, and some of us have been abandoned. Some of us have been obsessed with things. We've been resistant and struggling with things. Some of us have been abused and violated. Some of us have been plagued with jealousy. Some of us have been the daughter or the sister that wasn't the favorite. Some of us have been that one that had a chance to do this and had a chance to do that, but we knew we shouldn't have did it, but we did it. Some of us have been broken into pieces. Some of us have been bitter over the things that people have done or said to us. Some of us have been disappointed. We were left at the altar, not just the altar in the church, but we were left at the altar in life. Some of us have had silent affairs. Some of us have been grieving. Some of us have had these wicked stepmothers. Some of us have had these angry husbands and wives, and we like, what? Some of us have been tested here and tested there. Some of us have cried. Some of us have dealt with death and loss of loved ones, soulmates, and things of that sort. Some of us have been unfaithful. Some of us have been persistent in our sin, and yet other of us have been those that have been fighting the temptation. Some of us have been prepared to be like Christ and to not be those foolish virgins, but to be those wise virgins who came with enough oil. Some of us have been so worried about our reputation until we don't have faith in God. Some of us have forgotten that the evil in our lives and the selfishness in our lives has choked the very relationship that we have had with God. But then there's some of us that have been devoted to God and faithful to God and pray morning, noon, and night and pray for our sisters and our brothers. Some of us have been given the opportunity to share the word of God, and we do that. Some of us have had open doors and shut doors and windows of heaven that have been open above us. Why? Because we remembered that we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, who's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Remember, not only is he sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, he is the Word made flesh, the Word that we study, the Word that we pray, the Word that we stand on, the Word that we hide in our hearts, the Word that we have, that we meditate on day and night, the Word that's our total being. The Word of God is what we stand on. We say, I accept it because you allowed it. It's not my will, but it's your will, God, be done. I will decrease so that you can increase. God, be it unto me according to your word. We're in this word. We're endowed with the Holy Spirit of God. We're imputed with the Holy Spirit of God. The enemy tries to come in and plant doubts. He tries to come in and plant fears, but we go to the word of God when he comes in, and we pray in the Holy Ghost so that we will be edified and strengthened. He'll come in and try to plant the greed and the pride, but then we get consumed with the word of God, for we know he said we have not because we ask not. So we ask God to help us. We say, Jesus, I know you're sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we know that you dwell on the inside of us, so thank you. We know that the enemy tries to make us get into our feelings and make this out of that and put those mind fillers in there, those things that make us think someone doesn't like us and they don't even know your name. Anyway, that's a whole nother message. But we need to seek God for his wisdom. We need to seek God for his word. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to understand that periodically the enemy will try to make us continually be in these three things. To think that you hear God concerning others, so you go and tell him. But you all of a sudden all confused when he's trying to talk to you. You don't know what God is saying, but you got a word for somebody else. And if that's not you, then he's speaking to you clearly, and you can hear everything that he's saying concerning you. But now you're walking in doubt and fear when he tells you to give another person a word. You're totally confused. You can't decipher the voice of God. You can't decipher the directions of God. Or you're that person that you're just, you can't hear God for yourself or for God himself. And what I mean by that, as God is talking to you, and not only can you all of a sudden can't hear him, you can't hear him for you, you can't hear him for others, and you can't hear him for God himself, meaning that he's trying to strengthen you, but you can't hear him. He's speaking to you. You can hear the enemy, but you can't hear God. And it's because you've forgotten that you've been restored. God has restored you. And as of today, this enemy you see today, you will see no more. Just as God took that confusion and that doubt that Moses had of who he was. And I love how the very man that doubted that God would use him is the very man that in Exodus 14 and 13 said to the people, do not be afraid. Take your stand. Be firm and confident and undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today, today, today. And those Egyptians whom you see on today, you will not ever see again. So whether it's an Egyptian or it's a tree, whatever he told you to stay away from, stay away from it. Whatever's been battling you, don't worry about it, because he has restored you, and your latter shall be greater than your former. Why? Because you're more than a conqueror. That's right. Just like he told Haggai in 2:9, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give the ultimate peace and prosperity, declares the Lord. And then he even told Job in Job 8:7, and though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would greatly increase. So whether it's the three tests of the epistles, whether it's that pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, know that God has given you three persons in the Trinity. Just like God allowed Jesus to rise up on the third day, you have three. You have threes in your life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because you have decided, I'm going to be Christ-like. No matter what happens, I'm going to be an imitator of Christ. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who loves us? It's God. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I thank God that according to Ephesians 5:1-2, it says that we are to wake up out of our sleep. And not only are we woke, the word declares that watch what God does, then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Remember, I was talking about my mom and our parents teaching us how to cook earlier. Mostly what God does is love you, keep company with him, and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Woo! Hallelujah! He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. That's a love like that. That's the message version. So now that we've been restored back to when God said it was good, and it was when Jesus said that it was finished, and we're walking as imitators of Christ, we can know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt we have been restored. Accept your restoration. Walk in the authority that has been completely blessed by God. And don't do it in vanity, but do it in humility of knowing that God has done it once again. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that you're filled with his Holy Spirit? Thank you, God. Aren't you glad that you have direct access with your Father? You don't have to call nobody up to get you access, except for if you got a phone line to Jesus. That's all I have, Minister Sheila. I turn it back over to you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle, for that message, that teaching, that learning process that we all need. I just want to say I thank you, and I thank you for God blessing you with the word and the message and the lesson for today. I want to say the lines are open. For anyone to have a testimony, a comment, or just something powerful to say, the lines are open.
Praise God, saints. I thank God for this Sunday. I thank God for the message today. I thank him for restoration today. I thank him for that word that I needed today. To know that I could stand firm on his word. And though I feel weak, I can say, let the weak say, I am strong. So I thank God for the word. Thank God for the restoration. I accept it. Though I don't feel it, I accept it. And I ask for your prayers to help me to be and represent that image that Apostle was talking about. That image of my Father. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for them comments, that statement, and that teaching and the prayer that we all pray to Minister Margot forever. know that we do love her and that God will never forsake us. That love is here, and thank you for that word and that lesson that we all have learned today. The lines are open. Anyone else?
Praise God. I thank God for this morning. This is Minister Sylvia. I thank God for the word. It has been a lot said that causes us to examine ourselves, to just realize we don't want to miss God. We don't want to miss God like Adam. We don't want to miss God. Because if God said it, that's enough for me. If he said don't, then I don't. I shouldn't want to. I thank God for the ability to hear the word today. I thank God for the ability to apply it to my life. I thank God for the want to apply it to my life. Thank you, Apostle Elect Cecilia, for the word of today. Amen.
Thank you for the words, Minister Sylvia Carter. Right, look, I agree. As we go to today, when we wake up, we just ask, God, what is it that you want me to do today? I want to follow in your footsteps, your directions, because I know you will lead me to the right direction and not the wrong, and to block all the temptation that the devil was trying to convince me that it's you. But God, I know when it's you that I'm in the right and that we'll all come for the love and the grace and the mercies of you. Don't say there's anyone else. The lines are open.
Amen. Before we move on, this is Cecilia. I just wanted to come back and do that which we were taught. Minister Margaret asked for prayer, so let's pray for her. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you for the power in your word. We thank you for the authority in your word. We declare and decree that she is healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. We declare and we decree that your word shall be hidden in our heart. Your word, she shall meditate on it day and night. Your word, she shall stand on. Your word, she shall pray. Your word shall restore her. Your word shall refresh her. Your word shall revive her. God, it's your word. For this enemy she sees today, she will see no more. She won't doubt. But she will stand on your word, God. Your Holy Spirit shall endow her. Your Holy Spirit shall strengthen her. Thank you, Jesus, for sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for Minister Margot. God, take her deeper. Take her higher. God, take her where she needs to be in you, according to your word, according to your destiny, according to your call on her life. God, do it because only you can do it. God, show her your glory. God, show her your strength. God, show her who you are in her and through her for that mighty ministry that you birthed in her belly, God. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, thank
God.
Go ahead, Minister Michael.
Oh, I simply wanted to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for that rich word today. Thank you for letting me know that God is here. He's here for all of us, and we can't doubt him no matter what the enemy brings. We cannot doubt the word. We must have faith in order to please God. Be blessed with God.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle, for that prayer for Minister Margaret McCloy. And I thank you, God, and just let Minister Margot McCoy, your prayers. We are praying for the prayers to be blessed and to help you through all that you're going through, and to let you know that God is with you and he loves you and he will guide you daily through your life, that he has planned for you. Just walk forward with God because he has all the answers. No matter what we're going through, God has the right way. We just have to pray and be patient that God will lead us the right way. I just want to thank each and everyone. Oh, is there anyone else before we end the program? Do I have words to say?
Well,
Okay, I thank God for today, for me to be able to end the program and to be blessed for another day of life and mercy, and to lead us all and to let us know that each day he is here to guide us. Just need to wake up and say, God, it's a day you blessed me, another birthday you have for me. What is it that you have for me to do it your way, your only way, the truthful way, the loving way, because I know it will be blessed and right. I just want to thank you and thank you for each and every one of you for listening to the program, and to ask you to tune in each and every Sunday morning with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, and myself for Let's Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Monday night with Iron Sharpen Iron, which is at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. With this Monday, I believe it is Minister Margaret McCoy for the teaching and the lessons and the knowledge that the words of God have blessed to put into her mouth, heart, and mind to bring to her. Thank you very much. Okay, and on Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk, Monday nights and Friday nights is Blog Talk and Facebook. I believe this Friday, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas shares the night, so you will hear magnificent words and teaching and prayer from Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright or Prophet Antoine Thomas, whichever one. You will be fully full and truthful in love. I just want to say thank you and thank you and thank you. And to remember our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you. If there's nothing else, I'll say, God, I thank you for this day and each and every day that you have blessed us with. And I want to ask Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, could you pray us out to end the program?
Father God, we thank you for today's service. We thank you for everything that was released to us, God. We thank you for just thinking so worthy of us to give us another day, another chance to get it right with you, oh God. Thank you for the apostle dropping in our spirit that who's to say this time isn't your last time. God, teach us how not to take you for granted. Teach us how not to just overlook every little thing and feel I still have time. God, use your word, say, for no man knows the time, the day or the hour. God, we just ask you to put an urgency in our spirit to just want to know you even the more, to desire you the more. God, we want to just come before you open heart, open hand, and an open mind, saying, God, it's me, oh Lord. I need all of you every day, God. God, you're not tired of delivering me. I'm not tired of being delivered. God, I have not arrived. But, God, I've arrived to the point that I know I need you even the more. Every day your mercies are new, God, and we thank you for your new mercies. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you that you teach and you have teachers to teach us how precious we are in your sight. How precious we are with you, oh God. God, we just want to say, God, I repent. I step before you with an open mouth saying, God, I repent. All that I am, all that I'm not, God, I repent. Try me, oh Lord, and see if I can be completely yours. God, we stepped up to you to say, God, do what you do. And only you can do it, because without you, God, we are nothing but a wretched mess. God, we've come to an understanding that this is not the day, the time, or the season to be playing like I want to be saved. God, I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be made whole. God, put that in our spirit. Put that in our put it in our spirit that we wake up saying, today is the day that the Lord has made. God, put it in our spirit that I said, no longer will I walk without you. No longer will I talk without you. No more me, but it's all about you, God. For your words say, I am that I am. And you are the God of our salvation. And we thank you for that, oh Lord. God, we thank you. Teach us how to come before you. Teach us how to come openly before you. With our mouth wide open, saying, help, help, help. God, I need you on today. Help me, oh Lord. Thank you, God. God, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind to meditate, that your word is yea and amen. God, cover our families, cover our home, cover our job. God, cover our minds, oh Lord. Give us a different mindset, oh God. Give us a different mindset, oh God. Give us a different mindset, oh God, that we need to get the spirit of discernment to see the enemy before he comes. God, I see him. I see him trying to destroy the ministry. I see him trying to destroy the body of Christ. I see him trying to destroy it. But God, your word said that you came to give life and that more abundantly. God, it's time for us to walk into our abundance. Yes, oh God. We thank you for your scripture that's in Matthew 6:33 that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God, we seek it. We seek it. We seek it, oh Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Add unto me, oh God. Add unto me your righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But we have to be about kingdom's work. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you for the desire to be changed. I thank you for the hunger to be changed. God, I thank you for just coming into my life on a day such as this. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your mercy. God, for this is the day that I decided to say yes, Lord, even the more. Even the more. I decided to say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do what you have to do, God, to cut off that tree of exclusivity in my life that I can't seem to let go. Prune the branches, oh God. Dig it up from the root, oh God. Tear it down, God. Let me decrease that you may increase in my life, God. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, God. From this point, our prayer is going to be, I don't want to miss you, Lord. I don't want to miss you, oh God. God, teach me how to line up with your word. Teach us how to line up with your word. Well, your ministry is strong. You said every knee it shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Your word will go to every corner of the earth, north, south, east, and west. God, we just thank you for meeting us at the point of our need. In Jesus' name, we pray these things, and these things we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. It's back over to you, Apostle.
Until tomorrow, I agree with every prayer. I agree with all of you, and I thank God for you. And as God has already said, you have the authority, and he blessed it. Bye-bye.